Hello and welcome to The Two Tones. It's episode 4 for season 2016. Tony Moclair and Tony DeBolfo, how are you, Tone?
Good to see you, Tony. And aren't we in salubrious surrounds today?
Well, aren't we just? We've decamped to a much bigger room here at Icon Park. One, I think, more befitting of The Two Tones. It's a lot more palatial.
Well, it is a lot more palatial, and I'm really heartened by the fact that there's no padding on the walls. I think they were perhaps trying to tell us something where we were previously, but isn't it lovely to be liberated in a room, you know, with all this acreage here? It's absolutely magnificent.
Now, Tone, there's been, a setback for a budding star here at the Blues.
A great shame that young Harry Mackay, one of our early selections in the national draft of most recent times, Tony, has unfortunately suffered a stress reaction in his lower back. The early prognostications are that his is a three-month layoff. So that's a real blow for young Harry. But I suspect that, this is, an occupational hazard, you might say. Young fella that's coming into the system. Obviously, we're talking off air before about the upheaval in the football lives of these young fellows who, you know, up until most recently were probably still playing school football.
Yeah.
So it's a quantum leap to get the body right at this level. And I guess sometimes something has to give, doesn't it? But we were mentioning earlier how, you know, Patrick Cripps overcame that broken leg early in his career to really take all before him. And I'm sure for Harry, he'll do his absolute utmost to get himself physically as good as he can, as quickly as he can. And let's all hope that we see a good piece of him well and truly before the season's run and won.
Now, I want to talk about something that we saw just before coming on air, which was The Journey. Mm. Can we just talk about this for a moment, Tone? Because it's, I guess, it's relevant to Harry Mackay and Brendan Bolton's approach to the team this year, that nobody owes you anything, that there's no entitlement, and that you earn your spot. So you either play in the VFL or you play in the seniors team. That said, there's a policy, obviously, this year to play younger players and to test them in battle, so to speak. So Harry should know, surely, that when he comes back, when he's match fit, when he's ready to go, that there is the possibility of him lining up in the starting lineup.
So very true, Tony. You know, I think Harry and Jack Silvani and Charlie Curnow and all of those young fellows, if you hear them talk, they'll trot out that line that there's no, limit on expectation for them this year. They're taking control of their own destinies here, but they do so with the imprimatur of the coach that look it's all before you take up the charge and let's see here you go. So I think the all the young players have been given that sort of message, that there's a real opportunity, from the outset to stake a claim. And who knows when they'll be ready or when they're up and about playing senior league football, but there's no ceiling on it. And they're all aware of that. They're all mindful of it. But in respect of the journey, yes, we've just had a glimpse of it, haven't we? And it looks to be an incredibly revealing insight into the machinations of a senior AFL football club. And I don't know if we talk about that a little bit more a little bit later, but it's certainly exciting. It's an exciting bit of footage that we've seen.
It is fly on the wall stuff of, I guess, preparation during the pre-season. Brendan Bolton allowed unprecedented access to the Carlton media team. And just based on what we saw, it's absolutely fascinating and eye-opening and well worth a look. But you're right, we will talk about it in a minute. Now, that's the future, Tone, but the past was well and truly represented here at Icon Park recently. Can you tell us about that? You were there representing the Carlton podcast.
I was indeed, Tony. It was lovely to be there, and I was helping Soss with the Soss Sizzle on Saturday morning. Yeah. We had the barbecue going here, Tony, on the landing at the old Heatley stand-in of the Goals. Yeah. Members and supporters will be aware of the spot to which I'm referring. And this event actually doubled as a past players and officials reunion. And I'd mentioned during the week that at least the past 8 decades of Carlton history were represented on the day by former players and officials, going right back to Ken Hans's era of the 1940s.
Get your head around that. 8 decades. It's a long, long time. Part of a century.
And that was living history. There were people that were there that you could state were part of that earlier period of Carlton's history. But if you take it further and look at the descendants that were there, you had one of the Heatleys was in the house.
Yeah.
The grandson of Robert Heatley, Foster Heatley, was on the landing, being part of the festivities. We had a lady named Di Perkins there, whose grandfather Tom Warne and Uncle Bert Warne collectively served the ground as curators for 67 years from day dot of Princess Park. They were actually...
Which
Tom
is what
Warne,
year, Tony?
1897. Wow. Tom Warne was the first curator here at the ground. So it's a long, long time. And there are days, it's days like this that make you realise how, you know, the age of Carlton, and I've often said to people, as an historian here, you realise on days like that how much you don't know, because there is so much history still to be tapped, you know, and the people that came along were, you know, part of Carlton's living history, and it was magnificent to see. We as I said, we mentioned Ken Hans of the 40s, but then you had people like Peter Webster and Serge Silvani from the 50s, going right through to Simon Wiggins, who was there flying the flag for 21st century Carlton.
Yeah.
So Wigo actually felt pretty youthful being amongst that group of former players. And it was magnificent to see also former statisticians and video operators. You know, I mentioned to you there was two brothers here, Paul and Joe Panisi, who for many years under Park and served as video operators. And can you imagine having to, you know, work highlights reels on the days of the old Betamax? You know, how long it must have taken them to, you know, to cut up those precious pieces of footage. And I think it was Paul Panisi was telling me that he actually had the camera focused on Simon Beaumont the day Bowie kicked 8 in that first half against Collingwood in 99.
Yeah.
And he tells me that they gave Bowie that video highlights package gift wrapped. So fingers crossed, if I could get in touch with Simon Beaumont, we might be able to get hold of that video and whack it up on the Carlton website.
I reckon you would not be able to prise that out of his cold, dead hands.
And that was the day Fev made his debut off the bench. And I think Fev, you know, low attention span that he had, pretty much gave up the game pretty early when Bowie was slotting him through. He thought, there's no way, no.
Oh, it's not like he dropped his head. No. Look, a true champion that he was, he came back later that year and bested Bowie's effort by 4, didn't he?
A lazy 12, wasn't it? Yeah, a lazy 12. It's unbelievable, isn't it, when you think about it?
Yeah, well, you know, Bowie, let's see how Bowie would go in the middle of an African jungle. Hey, come on.
I'd back him with a hilt, you know, he had to dive head first into an aquarium filled up with rats or maggots or whatever they might be, Tony.
Now, I saw Jimmy Buckley here as well. Was he on sausage duty or
he
not?
He was on sausage duty, but the idea... We told Jimmy that the idea was that you actually turn the snags and then put them into a piece of bread and hand them to the people that were there, not gorge them yourself. Yeah. I mean, he got half of it right. He cooked them, but unfortunately the delivery left a little bit to be desired. But he was holding court at the barbecue, as was Sauce. I'll give you credit for that, was turning the snags. And so was Reese.
Yes,
was there.
Saw him. He said it was a lovely moment on the video on the Carlton website where he said he had his daughter there.
Yes.
And showed her around the place. Now, I kind of assumed she would have grown up here almost.
No.
But no, and he made the point that it's a great thing for players to come back because the last thing, their last experience of the club is to get the boot.
Yes. So quite often it doesn't end on the most savoury of notes.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of the players who were there were able to put that behind them and move forward. Life does go on. Mm. And they took full advantage of the opportunity to come back. And I was wondering between the barbecue area and the rooms, the dressing rooms, taking the past players and their children and grandchildren through to be photographed the lockers. And I think for me, that was probably the highlight of the day, to see David Glascott in front of the number 32 locker, or awesome. Simon Wiggins and his kids in front of number 34. Peter Webster, he played either John James and Dennis Zeynert, who both dead now, played either side of him through the 50s. He was set half back, great set half back for Carlton. He hadn't been back in 65 years to the room since he last played.
And what number was he tying?
He wore number 3, wore Mark Murphy's number for most of his career. To see him photographed there was magnificent. There was another former player, Ron Robertson, played about 23, 24 games in the mid-50s, who said to me that he actually worked with my grandfather. So that was a nice thing to hear.
Yeah.
There were just lovely, lovely moments, you know, that happened through the course of the day. But above and beyond anything, Tony, the best thing about it all was that every one of those past players of Fishers wanted to come back. They wanted to be back, and they took full advantage of the opportunity.
Free sausages will do that.
Yes. And Soss brought the bacon and eggs too. And
I think that
was just probably the little teaser that got him across the line.
I reckon Joe was behind that. Come on, of course. But that's an important point, Tone, and it says a lot about the spirit at Carlton at the moment.
Yes, it's very much, you know, an inclusive place. And that's the coach to a T. You know, he's involving everyone in the workings of the Carlton Football Club, and really making the place home again. And I think for so many members and supporters, some of who it's fair to say become alienated a little bit, you know, these past 15, 20 years or so, are gradually coming back to the fold, and Carlton is welcoming them all, and it's magnificent to see the place unified again, you know, because you have to have unity to get anywhere in this case, but that's for sure.
You really do, or to run the country. Season launch was held last Tuesday night at Crown Palladium. You were on the ground there, Tone. What were your thoughts on that?
Look, I thought it was a magnificent evening, Tony. I think what I gleaned from that was that the audience that was in attendance was so very observant of everything that was being said from the president, the CEO, the coach down. Mm. Sometimes these nights can sort of get a little bit out of hand, particularly towards the rear of the auditorium, and yet everyone hung off every word that was being uttered through the course of the night. The players all looked the part in their Carlton uniforms, and there was some tremendous highlights packages shown. We saw the little trailer for the journey, which was really well received. Mm. And the nice thing also on the night was that a number of staffers who had given so much of their time over years to the Carlton Football Club were acknowledged with certificates, which again was perhaps a really nice touch that had escaped the format in, you know, recent years previous. Mm. So I think what came out of that night was the sense of home, you know, the sense of belonging that really now is again prevailing.
Yeah.
And people were there because they wanted to be there, and they're a part of Carlton, and they want to be, you know, they want to embrace and really live the experience. So I think what Brendan Bolton has done is really unify the place, and that's not just the playing group, but everyone who says he or she has a connection with the Carlton Football Club.
Well, that brings us back to the journey, because that's certainly a very strong message that you see in this particular production. It's going to be shown on Foxtel.
Yes, Tony, it'll be a 30-minute extravaganza on Fox Footy next Tuesday night, and there will be extras that will be featured on the Carlton website also. So for anyone who considers himself or herself a Carlton nut, this is a not-to-be-missed documentary. I know Darcy Muller and Luca and Rick have been working hard over behind the scenes right through the summer from the time that Brendan Bolton came in to get, as you said before, some fascinating behind-the-scene moments that have happened along the way. And, you know, you think about it that, you know, Brendan Bolton admittedly has only been here a short time, but I think when you see this particular piece of film, you'll realise, you know, what has actually been happening behind the scenes and how much has been happening behind the scenes to get the place right, you know. It's a work in progress, we know that, but so much has been achieved in such a short period of time. And I think we'll get a little glimpse into what has been achieved as we follow the journey on Tuesday night.
Now, we should also point out that if you would like to see it and you don't have Fox Footy, there is a screening at the Great Northern Hotel on Tuesday
yes,
night.
Yes, there is. We want to reclaim the Great Northern, Tony, yeah. I might say, because I was down there before the recent practice match against Essendon here and was rather perturbed to see a photograph of Nat Fyfe on the wall. Admittedly, there was a number one Guernsey signed by Stephen and Sue Silvani on the wall. That was good.
Yeah.
And there is a Chris Judd Guernsey down there.
How does Nat Fyfe get up there?
Well, I think there's been an infiltration of Fremantle supporters that like to patronise the Great Northern when the Dockers are in town.
Yeah.
So I think we need, current supporters listening today, Tony, we need to reclaim what's rightfully ours. This is our turf,
yeah,
and we need to get back to the Great Northern and take control of the stockade,
yeah,
because it doesn't belong to anyone else. I strongly urge people to get down there Tuesday night. We want a show of force, and we want a sea of blue, not a sea of purple.
No.
We want a sea of blue down there, and let's reclaim the Great Northern, take back what's rightfully ours.
And, turn the picture of Nat Fyfe around so he faces the wall. I mean, great player, don't get me wrong, but he does not belong on the wall God, of the Great Northern.
He'd look good looking dark navy though, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Oh. Thank yes. you. Yes. I mean, I think it's it's an act of war is what it is.
So, it is.
Look, the alternative is we go to Frio and claim a pub there.
Yeah.
But that's not happening.
No, it's not happening. I think we just want to reclaim the Great Northern as, you know, one of the many Carlton social clubs here dotted in and around the old home dig. So look forward to getting down there, Tone. We might even see you make a cameo there.
Well, that's the plan, Tuesday definitely. Night. Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to be there and watching it because the journey looks like just an absolutely fascinating bit of viewing and a great primer for the home and away season too. If you want to know the mindset of the club and the new coach, not only the new coach but the new coaches.
Yes.
And just where the club is positioning itself mentally.
Yes.
If you like.
Yes.
Wow. If you're a fan, you've got to see it.
Yes. And all power to the boys in video too, because thinking from it from an historic perspective, can you imagine what it would have been now had we done this in 65 when Barras took over?
Oh.
You know, the footage that would have been at Carlton's beck and call. You have to think along those lines.
Yeah.
You know, you don't necessarily think about it at the time, but as time marches on, these sorts of things become priceless. But this is fascinating footage that won't disappoint any person that bears an allegiance to the old dark navy blues.
And the other remarkable thing about the journey, Tone, is it does give you that insight into how Brenton Bolton thinks, how he ticks, how he inspires those around him, not only those who work with him, but members as well. And I believe there was an indication of that. This is an amazing gesture at the club launch the other night. Can you tell us about it? It's this is maybe a snapshot of what Brendan Bolton has brought to the Carlton Football Club.
Good call, Tony. It was quite incredible the other night to see Brendan Bolton get up there and basically say, look, I want to be, part of a new coaches club, a coterie, I guess, of sorts that's being set up at Carlton. They were very much sticking their toe in the water. Brendan himself said, look, I don't know how many people I might be able to get across the line here to support me in this new club. Well, he barely uttered the words, and we had a deluge of humanity hit the stage. They were streaming up to the stage from the floor in their dozens. In the end, I understand there were 75 people up on stage that had each pledged $1,100 to be part of the coaches' club, and it was an extraordinary response, given that when Brendan Bolton first floated the idea, he rather humorously mentioned that he strongly urged his wife to join the club if she wanted to see him again.
Yeah.
So it was brilliant. It was a masterstroke.
Yeah.
And again, I guess if you're looking for something that perhaps best illustrates the impact that Brendan Bolton has had on the place, in a short period of time. Well, that was it. You know, the people are behind him. You know, it was Pied Piper of Hamelin stuff. Yeah. You know, they streamed up to the stage. So I think yes, what we're seeing is the power that the new coach has made on the place in his very short tenure here as Carlton coach, and you might be able to offer a Churchillian line there somewhere, Tony. I've been most disappointed you haven't volunteered one at this stage.
Oh, geez, a bit of pressure.
I'm putting
there,
you on the spot now.
Yeah, but no, well, all I can think of is the "I'm Spartacus" moment in the movie, where everyone stands up.
Is that
"I am Spartacus"? No. Oh, "I am Spartacus." It kind of got overturned.
Was that Kirk Douglas?
That.
Was that his finest?
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. Do you like gladiator movies? Let's not dwell on that. That's a terrific sign, because $1,100 is a fair whack of
cash,
if you don't mind.
It's a fair bit of coin, isn't it? You know, and but they, you know, to a man, woman, bolted to the stage.
Yeah.
And it was great to see. And that was the... a fair barometer of the mood of the the rank and file, and people are up for this, you know, and they want to be part of the journey, and to steal a line, we're going to see part of that on film Tuesday night, but this is what it is, we're all living it, Tony.
Yeah,
we're all living it.
Well, you don't have to pay $1,100 to come to the Great Northern, we should point out.
No.
That'll just be the price of a beer, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I believe that's blue beer too down there on Tuesday night, so I've heard.
Yeah, you'd hope so. Now, upcoming match, Tone.
Yes.
We need to remind people, NAB Cup Game 3. We, as my kids would say, are versing the Swans.
The Sydney Swine at Etihad Stadium this week. And I understand that Patrick Cripps is expected to play.
Right.
The club has adopted a wait-and-see approach with Mark Murphy. Let's hope the captain, gets back sooner rather than later. We need him to get a bit of game time, Tony, leading into the Richmond match, don't we?
We do. And how did he look the other night? He got up and spoke?
Spoke well.
Yep.
Spoke well. And I guess, on behalf of the players, he basically, I guess, talked about the expectation, I suppose, that was there amongst the players. Fresh start, the fresh start under Bolton.
Mm.
The fact that, everyone had an opportunity to really, make a statement, I suppose, for the new coach. I think Murph spoke probably as well as I've heard him speak, actually, about the year ahead. And, he's been in the club, 11 years now, and it's marching on, 28, 29 years of age. It's hard to believe that the years have flown by so quickly for Mark Murphy. But fingers crossed the best years are ahead for him too.
We need him up and running. Protection in the midfield, and it's just... can just turn on those displays that we know he's capable of, and they're just absolutely thrilling to watch.
Yes, very, very true. I note that young Jakob Vitring is likely to start again. And
that's great.
It's just great. I still think back to that Essendon game, and what a privilege it was to be there just to see him play for the first time.
That was a moment being down at the Heatley end and watching him just with that composure, that cool head.
Yeah, yeah.
Magnificent.
And you know what? Thinking about it now, it was a practice match, but, to see him, strutting his stuff at Princes Park on a day like that, I think, time to come, it will be I was there the day moment. You remember the first time you saw that number one draft selection, show his wares, and it was just a privilege to be there to see him return a performance like that. And the players came off what was a rather scrappy, scratchy intra-club game last Saturday morning. So they were out in the track for a fair while, actually, so that has probably given them all a fairly decent hit out leading into the match.
Fantastic. Well, it is at 5:50 p.m. at Etihad Stadium, Friday the 11th of March. Get on down there. It'd be great to see Cripper on the paddock again. And as you say, Jakob, see him running around. Yeah. And it just made me think. I mean, obviously, I don't want to put the moz on him. And but you have mentioned that, let's say, you could easily argue that Mark Murphy is in his autumn years.
Yes.
At the club, being yes. the age he is. And you, look, there is a case to be made that there's a potential embarrassment of riches when it comes to choosing the next captain at the club.
Yes, well, look, that's obviously a decision for another day, isn't it? And we hope perhaps later rather than sooner. But yes, I suspect, you know, under the new Bolton regime, you're going to see a lot of young players, you know, not necessarily just young players, older players too, to really develop not only as players but as potential leaders of the club. So I think in an ideal world you'd have, sounds terribly cliche, but you'd have all leaders, you know, setting the tone out there.
Mm.
But yeah, there's obviously an opportunity for all players to shine, you know, under the realm of their new coach. And let's see where it takes us.
Well, look, any game against Sydney is always interesting. Look, even the last couple of years, there's been some ripper contests. You remember the final up in Sydney where we had to, come from the other side of Sydney. That's where the change rooms were, if you remember that. Getting on the rainy night.
Yes.
Could have won that game.
Yes, yes.
But let's not dwell on that.
No.
Look, they're always great contests and well worth getting on down and seeing the continuing progression of Carlton under Brendan Bolton and the new coaching staff.
Well said, Tony, and the opportunity to see those young players on show. That is, after all, is the future of the Carlton Football Club.
And we will conduct our usual dissection of that game next week on the Two Tones.
Methodically and forensically, Tony, we will analyse it and take it apart.
Well, yeah, hopefully we won't have to treat it like a crime scene, Tone. This has been the Two Tones, episode number 4. Tony DeBolfo, Tony Moclair, saying goodbye, go Blues, and see you at the Great Northern next Tuesday.